Carrying on in 1 Peter, we've got living for God. It's a good bit. Peter's letters can come across a little bit heavy, but in case you hadn't noticed, what he was trying to say is that Christians are going to suffer. You might have escaped that bit. But what he also said is, it's not going to worry you. You're just passing through. This world has got nothing that you have to live up to. It's got nothing to offer. And it can make no real demands on us. Because we have a kingdom that is not of this world. And we're just passing through it. We have the opportunity to grab a few people en route. And I believe that God wants us to do that as a church or as part of his church. We're only a little tiny little bit of it. But nonetheless, we're unique and God knows every one of us. Okay, let's have a read. 1 Peter 4, 1 to 11. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. You've had enough in the past of the evil things that godless people enjoy, their immorality and lust, their feasting and drunkenness and wild parties, and their terrible worship of idols. Of course, your former friends are surprised when you no longer plunge into the flood of wild and destructive things they do, so they slander you. But remember that they'll have to face God, who will judge everyone, both the living and the dead. That's why the good news was preached to those who are now dead. So although they were destined to die, like all people, they now live forever with God in the Spirit. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself was speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. So Peter was helping the believers to expect suffering. He was saying it so that they wouldn't fear and become intimidated and be quiet. And he didn't want them to be thrown off course. You hear people, it grieves me actually, you hear people that something not very good has happened to them. Might be something that is just genuinely bad, not their fault, and something horrible happens. And they get offended at God. And it grieves me. And you hear some people, I've heard people say, you know, well, if that's what he thinks he's going to do, he's not doing it with me. And you sort of think, my life. Have you sort of thought that one through? What has Jesus done for you? What does Jesus want us to do in our suffering? Well, it says we're to have this attitude that he had. We should expect suffering at times as a normal part of Christian service. Something to look forward to. We've committed our lives to God's service and could be confident we have turned away from our old way of sin. And there's a sense where if you are willing to commit to the fact that somewhere en route, I'm going to get the wrong end of something. I might get hurt. But if you take that mindset, if you take that attitude, you're far less likely to get led off into doing something that God says it's sin. You're far less likely to do something that offends God by how you live or what you do or what you say or what you don't do. So what did the attitude that Jesus have? What was his attitude? He chose to suffer for the sake of everybody else. He didn't compromise or remain quiet as though he had no involvement, which is what we can do sometimes. But he determined he would obey God and allow himself to be used by his Father as he chose. Jesus said some things which Peter picked up, and he was trying to say to these people and encourage them. Gospel of John, a couple of different places, John 8 and John 18. Jesus said he was not of this world. Do we realize, have we forgotten, that actually we were born out of this world? We were born out of this kingdom, taken out of this kingdom and put into another kingdom. Kingdom of God. He also said his kingdom isn't of this world. If it were, his servants would fight to protect him. We've got no stake in this world. When we come to God and we accept all that Jesus has done for us, there's a little bit of this contract that we sometimes forget. God says, I will give you everything I am. That's your inheritance. You inherit Jesus. You inherit everything. But I have everything of you. We sort of read that bit a bit quicker at the end. It's great. The things that Jesus has done for us is wonderful. He keeps us in the presence of God. We know the love of God through it. We are washed clean. If I do it wrong, I'm forgiven. Every time. Don't have to do penance. You're forgiven. Fellowship restored. He keeps me safe, actually. If we had any idea of the things that would love to do you harm, it would frighten the life out of you. But they've got to go to Jesus first, because he's the strong man. And until you bind the strong man, you cannot plunder his house. And the good news for us is that actually he's already plundered their house. Jesus said, the Father loves me because I sacrifice my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes my life from me. And that's the truth for us. We don't realize it. When we get into a dangerous situation, we sort of think, how am I going to escape? How am I going to cope with this? What's going to happen to me? But actually, Jesus knew nothing's going to happen to me, actually, until God says it does. And there are times when God says, you are going to suffer. Not because he's a bit bored and he just likes to see us dance. There are people that God will want some of us to reach, you not me, to reach, who will not come quietly. Not everybody's cultured and polite. And some people fight, and some people have to go in and reach them and grab them and rescue them. And they get a few punches on the way. And God will allow that to happen. He knows it's important. He knows it's necessary. Sometimes there is no other way. Sometimes, as you have read on, when you lived in the world and complied to that, you're everybody's friend. Suddenly, everybody hates you. And they will mock you and slander you and all sorts of things. That's the price of discipleship. That's the price of being brought into God's kingdom. We have to be willing to accept that. But we have to remember who holds your life. Who holds your life this morning? You might feel a little bit distant from God this morning. You will never be closer to God now than you will through all eternity. because he's brought you that close to himself. And because of Jesus, he keeps us that close to himself. So if I suffer, I suffer with him. You know, in Isaiah where it says, you know, when you pass through the fire, it doesn't say if, it says when. Good news. But he says, I'll be with you. The waters will not overflow you. God is able to keep you safe. And he's got plenty of angels that run around. I'm sure we have no idea how much work we give them, actually, sometimes with what we do and where we go. And they work overtime and they don't mind doing it because they know who we are. We are God's inheritance. Have you really thought about that? What that means? You are what God has done all of this for, that he might inherit you. Not so that you can be a slave and a little robot. Because he wants you to love him in the way that he loves you. And he wants to give his life to you, which he's done, so that we can live together and be at peace and joy, and we can enjoy each other. Fear will go. Okay. Arm yourselves with the same attitude that Jesus had. Be ready to suffer. But if we suffer, there is a commitment to that. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking, when I was a kid, I had one of my brothers and my cousin. We kind of had a love-hate relationship, I think. I loved them and they hated me. We used to go swimming quite frequently, and I was utterly terrified of water for a good reason, because they used to sit on my head quite a lot. And they used to think it really funny to see me, how close they could get to me drowning before they hauled me out coughing and choking. And they thought it was really funny. I didn't, funny for some reason, I don't know, no sense of humour really, but it used to terrify me. And I got to a point one day when I thought, I've got to get over this fear. And the only way I could think of doing it, I was terrified of just getting on the water and thinking of swimming across anywhere, even in the shallows. And the only way I could get round it, I thought, I'm going to just have to kind of go the whole hog. So what I used to do, I used to go underwater. I'd sort of, took me a while to get up the courage, and I'd duck and all this business. And eventually I thought, it's no good. I'm just going to have to go for it. So I held my breath and I used to duck underwater. And then realizing that didn't kill me, I would then start swimming. And I actually learnt to swim. I could swim easily a width underwater. And I'd swim all over the place, but underwater. And then one day it occurred to me, might be an idea if you tried that on top. So I did. And I swam three lengths. I ended up far better swimmer than they were. I had the pleasure only once of sitting on their head. It was good. But it's the same with the Christian life. That level of commitment that Jesus had, it's all or nothing in a sense. We have lots and lots of failures. There are lots of times when we chicken out doing something. But the reality is, if we want to grow and we really want to get on and we really want to be useful, we have to go that whole commitment. And if that involves going underwater and realizing actually you can cope under there and you can swim around, and it's just easier if you swim on top because you can breathe at the same time, which is always a bonus, then we have to do that. But we have to commit ourselves fully to the way of God. We have to commit to what he wants for our lives. And we have a free will and we can choose yes or no. But Jesus suffered that others could go free. We can suffer sometimes so that others can go free. Now that might involve forgiving somebody, because what it does mean, we have to choose. We always make a choice. When you get out of bed in the morning, you make a choice. And we do it all the way through. And it's exactly the same in our Christian walk. You make a choice. Am I going to do what God wants? Or am I going to do something less? Or am I not going to do it at all? Because it doesn't suit me today. Tomorrow maybe. One of the things for me, walking with God, is that you kind of go to a certain level with God, a certain level in a relationship with Him, and a certain level of doing stuff that He allows you to do, and you get involved with stuff, not just doing loads of stuff, we'll do loads of stuff too much, but I mean doing things that actually connect to other people's lives and sets them free or blesses them or encourages them or challenges them. That's quite often where the suffering comes from. But then it seems to kind of come to a point where you suddenly are aware there's more than this. There's got to be more than what we've got here this morning. And there's more in our lives. And then you're at a crisis point then, because God says, I want you a bit closer. I want you to reach out more. I want you to trust me more. I want you to allow my Holy Spirit to move through you in ways that you haven't thought of. Are you willing? And sometimes we look at it and we think, well, maybe not. And he says, okay. And from that point, you have a regret and a hunger in your heart that will not go away. And it can, the years can go past and God will say to you, are you willing? No, no. But a day will come when you say, Lord, I'm willing, take me on. And he says, okay, now we need to make a few changes. And then we have to deliberately make changes in our lives sometimes. And God will expect that. And then he will show more of himself and we will know more of him and we will be more useful in that sense. So there is that choice that we have to do in our walk with God. There is a commitment. And it's in the first place, is set your mind to be like Jesus. Take this attitude. I'm going to suffer. Be willing to do it. But knowing that you're not a martyr and you're certainly not a masochist, it's if necessary. Back in 1 Peter 3, 7 somewhere or other, he says, you know, you're blessed if you suffer for doing good, this is, not for doing bad. But you're blessed if you're doing good and you suffer for it, if God allows that. God won't always allow that. He won't let people hurt you unnecessarily. Some people will hurt us, though. Will that offend us? Will it offend me against God? Why didn't you keep me safe? Why didn't you keep me warm and comfortable? I don't like that. He says, well, if you died, you wouldn't say that. That's what people say when they say, I'm frightened of dying. You say to them, if you were dead, you wouldn't talk like that. And it's so true. You know, we've died to ourselves and we live for Jesus. And there is a growing relationship that we have with him. And it's wonderful and it's exciting, but it costs us as well. Okay. Let's have a look over here. Let's see what else I wrote. Yeah, just a couple of bits. We have to choose to make deliberate decisions to go God's way. Every day we have to do that. That might involve trusting God and having a go at doing something that you're really scared of. That could just be sitting on your chair right now and saying, Lord, we are the body. Your word says, you know, everybody's got something from you to share. Because when we come together as a body, the Holy Spirit's in each one of us. And he wants to show off Jesus to us. And how he does that is to show him through his body, which is us. It's not some guy out the front or anybody else. It's all of us. God has chosen you. And God has chosen you, and he's got a purpose for your life. And are you willing, are you brave enough to allow him to do it? So if you're sitting in there, next week is Pentecost week, and what I was going to ask is, can we all really pray and seek the Lord and ask for something to share next Sunday? Would that not be awesome? And, you know, walking starts with a single step. We'll stumble around. We might get it a bit wrong. It doesn't matter. As long as you move, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. And we're going to see some amazing things. So I'd love us to begin that next Sunday. It's scary. And you think, oh, I look stupid. We look stupid anyway. So what does it matter? Let's just go for God. Okay, back on track. Verse 7 to 11. The end of the world is coming soon. Or the end of all things at hand, whichever version you prefer. Peter's not talking here, by the way, about that Jesus is about to return. Jesus in Matthew 24 said a number of signs that we would know to look for before he comes back. One of them actually was the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. Well, Peter died about AD 67, didn't he? So he didn't see that either. There's a whole load of reasons just to show that. But he had no idea when Jesus was coming back. Jesus himself didn't know that. But he did see the signs. And he saw the signs building up. And he saw the signs because one of the things that Jesus said, or two things that were major. One is that the gospel will be preached to the whole world. And then shall the end come. So it's in our interest, actually, to get a bit of a move on and think up ways of how we can get the message out to people. The first one that God wants is that we live the gospel. You know, there's words of to a penny, meaningless. But when you see somebody who lives Jesus, when you see somebody who you've wronged and you say, I forgive you, and you know they've forgiven you, that's a different matter. Because combined with that, the Holy Spirit will work in people's hearts and just bring them into the love of God. It's you and the Holy Spirit working together, and it's us and the Holy Spirit working together. And so it's getting the gospel out. But it also says in the last days, lawlessness will abound, men will be fierce. And Peter was picking that up because in his day, that was beginning to happen increasingly. And a lot of these people he was talking to had fled their homes. And they were pretty scared. And he was saying, this isn't an unusual thing. This is happening more and more. And we're very fortunate in this country. We can own a Bible and not be locked up or even killed for it. We own a Bible. We can talk about Jesus if we so fancy it. And the rest of the town doesn't drag you out and beat you to death. But there are things changing incredibly rapidly in the West and in this country as well. And when you look at it, it's quite scary. And a lot of people are afraid. There's a lot of fear around now. People are frightened of so many things. And we're the only people in reality who have no reason to fear. You can take everything I've got in this world away, which is a lot more maybe than other people in other countries have got. Does it matter to me? Yeah, you bet it does. I'd be really upset. But I'd get over it really quickly because it would focus my mind and I'd have to say, well, Lord, you give, you take away, but you never take you away from me and me away from you. And you will supply all my needs. And if I have to find money in the gutter to buy food, then I'll do it. We don't know what God's going to do, but he's never at a loss to know how to keep us. So we shouldn't be afraid. We have a hope that will not make us disappointed. We have a hope that cannot fail because it's already secured. That is what we've got to offer people. Step out of this world. Step out of that old kingdom that's enslaved you and step into a kingdom where you can be new, where you can be clean, where you can be whole, and where you can be free and where there's joy. And as a church, we need to live that together. And so it goes on. In Matthew 28, Jesus said about in the last days, many people will fall away. The love of many will grow cold. They will hate and they will betray each other. And Peter is, I believe, is picking that up here because he's saying, above all else, make sure that you keep your love for each other and you love deeply each other. You cover sins with true love. And we all have sins. I don't care who you are. You might all be shiny and glowy. But you have sins. In this life, we have sins. And God says, if you will cover one another in love, I am free to move in that environment. And the Holy Spirit will move. And that may be, I mean, there is a time in let me just hasten to say, I'm in no way saying that we accept anything in the church. We don't, obviously. There are things that we don't allow, and there are things that we tolerate, and there are things that we tolerate for a time. And there is a timing in God with some of these things. If somebody's on a journey with him, they might be in something that you think, this isn't right. What we have to know is, one, guard our heart. So we love from the heart for that person, and you cover them in love, which means you do not point the finger, you do not criticize. If somebody's in Matthew 18, it says, if somebody sins against you, then you go and tell them, and then there is a process on from that. I'm talking about sins that isn't against you. So stuff that people are living in, people, their attitudes, what they're doing or whatever. You have to know, is God dealing with that at this moment? Because we can destroy one another. If we don't know, you cover it with love and you pray fervently for them. And it should cost us, actually, to try and deal with somebody else's sin. It should cost us and it should grieve us. And it should be done in fear. But God will move. There are times, obviously, when you have to go and confront somebody and say, no, listen, we need to talk. You know, and that has to be dealt that way. But there are many, many things where God says, I want you to cover it. You just love each other and you pray. And I will move at the right time. You know, it's knowing we have to walk delicately with those kind of things. It's so easy to get it right. You know, God's little helper, I'm so offended at this sin. I'm so offended at your sin because it means I haven't got to look at mine, basically. And quite often, if it's, for instance, a pride thing, God will bring the most proud person you've ever seen in your life to confront you. How dare they? But it's your pride, actually, that God is dealing with. So we have to walk really humbly and really delicately and know what God's saying. So there's a time when you mustn't be afraid to confront. There's a time when you have to cover them and carry them for a period. So it's just knowing which is which. Nearly there. It was just the bit in Luke where, do you remember where Jesus went to Simon and Simon's house for a meal, and this woman came in and she was crying and sort of washing his feet with the tears and all that. And Simon was going, if he was a real prophet, he'd know what she was like. She's a sinner. And of course, Jesus knew perfectly well what he's like. But the difference was Simon saw the sinner. Jesus saw the saint. And he gave her forgiveness. And it is a really, really important subject that I'm sure we often get wrong. But it's something that we really need to walk really sensitively in. And just so that we keep that place where God can move. And then the last bit. Say, demonstrate your love for God by showing love to others. If you have the world's goods and see a believer in need, you need to be willing to share what we have. And then verse 10, which we've talked about, God has given each of us a gift. Actually, we've all been given one gift. People say, oh, what's my gift? I don't do that. I think it's complete nonsense. The gift that God has given you and me is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the gifts stay with the giver. But he will give you whatever you need at any time, any circumstance and situation that you will need to deal with something. Because the bottom line of all of this, like everything in the New Testament, is trying to get through to us, you cannot do it. You cannot live the Christian life. You know, when Jesus came along and they sort of, you know, they were all sort of well into the law, and books and books and books were written of how to interpret the law and all of this. And Jesus said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, well, you know, your law says, and he didn't come to abolish the law, by the way. He came to fulfill it. But he was trying to get through to us. You know, if you say if somebody's sort of caught in adultery, well, I say to you, if you even look at a woman or a man wrongly, you've done the deed. So where do you go? What he was trying to say, if you think it was bad now, what I'm trying to get through to you, and the whole law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to try and get through to us, there is nothing in you that can please God. There is nothing in me that can please God. And God has given us a new birth and a new life that by its very nature, because it's God himself, pleases God. I cannot love you as lovable as you are. I cannot love you in the way that God wants me to love you, which is a sacrificial love, which is a protective love, which is a covering love. That's the love that God wants for us. It's not I love you because you're sort of cute or nice or something. It's a love that I will give my life for. And just the same way that Jesus did. And I can't do it. But the Holy Spirit says, if you will walk with me, if you will give me room in your life, I will be all that you need to be. And so really that's what Peter's trying to say with this. Living for God means that I am no longer Lord of my life. I've handed over the rights, I've handed over the keys to my little kingdom. And Jesus has to be the Lord of my life. And that's a process that will take my whole life. It's a process, day by day, blow by blow if necessary, encouragement by encouragement. And he's put me in a body so that you can actually challenge me, cover me, love me, pray for me, which is really what he's talking about here. And he's done the same for you. And the way that works and the way it grows is that each one supplies as it ought. The whole body builds itself up in love. So I just encourage you next Sunday, wouldn't it just be wonderful? Does it matter if you're a bit scared? Does it matter if you're a bit offline? Does it actually matter? It doesn't bother God. He will be thrilled to bits if we really say, okay, Lord, let's have a go. Let's see what body ministry is in reality. Let's see what you've got to say. Holy Spirit, you take me on. You give me something to do. It might be just some little word. It might be something much more than that. But let's just be open as of now, continually, to see the kingdom of God moving in us and through us. Because when we draw a picture of Jesus by our lives together, God is going to draw people in. And there's going to be an awful lot of people coming in. And there are going to be all kinds of people, I tell you. When you see what's going on, just even in this country, the perversion and everything else, people don't consider themselves perverted. They don't know any better. Are we going to say, oh, you need to clean your act up because actually this is church? Or do we say, Jesus loves you. That's why he died. And I love you. And I'm willing to lay my life down that you can find him too. And that's what Peter's after. Be encouraged. Okay, shall we just pray? Father, thank you, Lord, for your amazing love to us, Lord. Thank you that love is a funny word, Lord, and it sounds all gushy and nice, but Lord, it was a terrifying ordeal that you went through, deliberately chose, because you knew it was the only way that you could rescue us, Lord, and buy us back from the hand of the one who owned us, Lord. Father, thank you so much, Lord. Lord, we just want to, as a part of your church here and as individuals, Lord, we just want to ask you, Holy Spirit, fill us anew. Lord, give us a way to walk in with you that we can live Jesus, Lord, in our lives together and live Jesus as individuals wherever we work, wherever we go, Lord, because you're with us, Lord. Father, we can't do it, but Lord, we choose to go your way, Father. So, Lord, lead us in your way, Father. Fill us anew. Amen.